I'm Chris Rubelo for the California Healthcare Foundation. Tom Williams is Executive Director of the Integrated Health Association, the nation's largest pay-for-performance organization located in California. IHA has drawn a lot of national attention and is expected to draw even more based on activity in both the public and private sector. So, Tom, let's just start with basics. Pay-for-performance, how do you define it?
I think pay-for-performance is, first, not a new concept. It's been in most industries for decades. And it's simply incentives for targeted areas of performance.
Why the need for pay for performance?
Well, first, any incentive is usually targeted things you already want people to do, but toward which you want to give extra attention. So the area that requires extra attention in healthcare is the whole notion that despite great medical training and some extremely skilled practitioners, physicians in particular, there is a high variation in care delivered from geography to geography and from physician to physician. And many reasons for that. One is different types of training. There also is so much new evidence that's building every year that it's really difficult for any physician to stay on top of it. So this particular pay-for-performance program and those that have gotten popular are oriented to put special attention on clinical guidelines, the implementation of practice that have been developed in clinical guidelines with the best possible evidence, and then measuring adherence to those guidelines and then rewarding those that do particularly well. So in the case of healthcare, it's primarily areas of underuse at this point. A good example would be mammography for women between 50 and 69. There's a preponderance of evidence that says that frequent mammograms in that population are the best possible care, and yet many women in that age group don't receive regular mammography. So the idea is to put some special attention on something like that, measure it, and then reward.
Let's talk about the national picture. The Bush administration is expected to mandate the use of uniform standards for health IT and the adoption of quality measurement tools for doctors and hospitals, first who serve Medicare patients. And then also recently, HHS Secretary Mike Leavitt says a number of the 100 largest private employers in this country are going to ask for the same standards from the hospitals and doctors that care for their employees. So there's a new focus, an increased focus on quality measurement tools. Do you think this is going to increase the interest and the momentum across the country for pay-for-performance?
Oh, I think dramatically.
We had talked earlier, how about the possibility of lowering physician reimbursement? Will quality measurements come into that? What impact will that have?
Well, I hope that it doesn't lower physician reimbursement. I don't think that is the intent. Hopefully, in the much longer term, it'll lower healthcare cost. But I think maybe you're referring to, in order to fund incentives, will there be the requirement that we lower base compensation? And I think it's a very important question, particularly for the physicians. As you may know, Medicare, CMS had proposed reducing physician compensation for Medicare by 5.1% recently. There's been a lot of pushback on that. When Secretary Leavitt was in San Francisco last week, he indicated that there would probably be some sort of a compromise. And one of the things they hope to achieve is to give some of that money back in the form of incentives. So how the incentives are funded is always a key question in the whole process of putting these sort of programs into place.
How many pay-for-performance programs are there in the country?
Well, there's a national survey conducted by a company out of San Francisco called MedVantage. And the last time they did the survey, they indicated there were over 100 programs in the country.
Let's talk about yours, which is the Integrated Healthcare Association in California. It's been described as the largest and most prominent pay-for-performance program in the country. Is that true? And if so, who's involved? Who are the stakeholders in your organization?
Well, I believe outside of any government program, Medicare does have a voluntary reporting program for physicians. But absent that, I believe the IHA program, or the statewide California program, is the largest in the country. currently have the involvement of 7 health plans in the complete program, and then an 8th, Kaiser, in the public reporting component of the program. There are about 35,000 physicians and about 6 million health plan members in the full pay performance program, and in the public reporting component only represents about 12 million members. So it is a very substantial program.
And I understand the feds, especially CMS, they've shown interest in what your organization is doing, right?
Yes, I think we've received a tremendous interest from many different states and representatives in the federal government, primarily because we now have a fair amount of history and have implemented on a fairly substantial scale.
Perfect lead into my next question. 5 years since the organization was conceived, what's the state of affairs? What goals have you achieved?
Well, the primary 3 organizing goals were development of a uniform measure set that would be used by multiple health plans, which has been achieved. Second was the development of a single report card to eliminate the prior problem of what was called dueling report cards, where you had different health plans reporting out on the same providers with varying results, and we now have a single report card. And then finally, from the health plan, significant financial incentives against the performance measures, and that too has been achieved in 2003, or for measurement year 2003, there were about a little over $38 million of incentive payments paid by the health plans to the physician groups. For measurement year 2004, that was about $54 million, and payments for 2005 are in process. Some of the plans have paid their payments, and that process will be complete in October.
So where's that money come from, Tom?
Well, the money comes from the health plan, which they receive in the form of premiums from various purchasers, both government and non-government.
So it hasn't raised the cost to the consumer at all?
I don't believe so, certainly not directly. I mean, it is a cost, and at this point in time, we cannot demonstrate that the cost has been returned in the form of lower health care. In fact, probably more health care has been provided, more mammographies, more immunizations, more screenings. In the long term, the notion is that by providing more preventative care, which is supported by the best possible evidence, that the longer term we're going to have healthier population and hopefully at a little bit less cost. But we cannot say that today.
Well, let's talk about healthcare outcomes. What have you been able to measure as far as healthy outcomes?
Yeah, outcomes, we've been fairly limited in what we've measured. And there are 3 domains in the measurement set: clinical, patient experience, and information technology. So outcomes are fairly easy to measure in information technology and patient experience. And so we've measured, for example, in IT, information technology, what sorts of information technology physician groups have taken up. That's pretty easy to measure. Patient experience, there's an annual survey, and we can measure what the experience of the patient is and how that changes. The clinical side, outcomes are much more difficult to measure than process. So, for example, screening would be process. Mammography would be a screening test. And that would simply be a process. It doesn't necessarily mean that you are healthier, but it's certainly an important step in that. In terms of outcomes, in our measure set, we have a few outcomes measures. They're mainly related to the control of blood glucose for diabetics and for cholesterol in adult men. So not only is there a measure for screening for those particular values, but also for control of those values.
Some of your literature, you talk about performance breakthroughs and the desire to have performance breakthroughs. You say that hasn't happened yet. What would be an example of a performance breakthrough?
Well, that's a really good question. There certainly are, not only in California, the measurement of quality, but across the country. And so as we sit here today, and generally speaking, in the quality measures, California does about average. Some measures a little more than average, some measures a little less. But there are some states, for example, Massachusetts, which tends to score very high across a broad spectrum of quality measures. So if California was to improve from where we are today to a, you know, very top-tier performance level, we would consider that breakthrough.
So when you say, like in Massachusetts, when you talk about high quality, give me some examples.
Well, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but the mammography is a good example. So if in California, say 82% of women between 50 and 69 are receiving a mammography at the frequency recommended, and in Massachusetts it's 96%, then if we were to go from 82 to 96, that would be really a breakthrough. And the 96 would be, by all standards, considered a very, very high level of care.
But there's some differences in California, right? We have a much more diverse population, and there are more people outside the system in California, right?
By outside the system, I assume you're saying uninsured.
Yes.
And we've got about, well, it varies from 4.5 to 6 million uninsured on a population of about 30 million. And in Massachusetts, I think they only have several hundred thousand uninsured, and not sure the actual population, but I'm sure that it's a smaller percentage than California. So, yes, an apples-to-apples comparison may not be fair.
Well, let's get some background here. So for others, physician groups, health plans, who are either actively considering pay-for-performance or are starting to go, okay, this isn't going to go away, we need to deal with this. For those who are considering this way to go, what can they learn from your experience? What opening advice would you give to those who are either considering a community, a state, or a regional effort?
I could spend a lot of time on that. I would say just sort of some very high-level things that, A, you really need buy-in from those being measured, whether it's physicians or hospitals. I believe they need to be involved in the process, and you're not going to have 100% agreement with the measures, but you need general agreement with the measures. Those being measures must feel that it's fair, or you just don't get the support. Secondly, there is a lot of very sort of detailed work involved in this, and I think it's important that folks take the time to understand that and to do it properly, because it's not easy work, and really the devil truly is in the details. Third, you need sufficient sample size, that if you're just looking at a small slice of patients, it's going to be very difficult to get appropriate sample size to have valid and reliable measurement, and ultimately no one will really pay much attention to it if they don't believe that it's valid and reliable. And so those are three simple takeaways, but there are many, many other, I think, lessons to be learned.
What measurement did your organization start out with?
I mentioned the three domains, the clinical, patient experience, and information technology. In the clinical side, we have primarily adopted what is known as the HEDIS measurement set, which is from the National Committee on Quality Assurance. And that is the most widely used measurement set in the country. When IHA adopted it, it had been designed to measure health plans, not physician groups. So a fair amount of work had to be done to test and make it ready for that sort of measurement. But it's a very well-vetted set. And on the patient experience side, we took advantage of a California survey, the consumer assessment survey that had been sponsored by the Pacific Business Group on Health, but that's morphed into the national CAHPS survey, which is conducted in many states, which is a good baseline to start with. And then we worked with NCQA to create specific measures for information technology, which were really custom built for our program.
How essential is health IT to the whole pay-for-performance movement?
Well, I think it's hugely essential. There are different dimensions to that. We have a organizing principle that says we'll only use electronic data for measurement. A lot of great quality improvement occurs using manual chart review and other manual tracking means, but this program just, it was too large scale to manage in that form. It would have been too expensive. So I think the main lesson is that if you're going to do a significant program, that is in terms of size and scope, that you really need to focus on electronic means, and then that requires really a lot of attention to how data is exchanged between organizations and try to support the particularly physician groups that are trying to collect data at the local office level.
So what do you say to docs who go, hey, they're concerned. I take care of lower income population. These folks are not motivated to take care of their health. No matter how much I encourage them, they're not going to do what's really needed. So my measurements are going to come out looking worse than the guy over in the other end of town. What do you say to physicians who have those kind of concerns about measurement?
Oh, I say they have a legitimate issue. No question about that. To the extent that it plays out is, I think, probably to a lesser degree than many folks might think. Nonetheless, it is a real issue. There are many new risk adjustment methodologies being developed and used in certain types of measurement systems. We have not implemented one to date. Therefore, I think as the programs become more substantial and serious, that risk adjustment needs to take a higher profile.
So that leads into my question about trust and collaboration. And is it true that stakeholders at some point have to subordinate their own interests to really get on board with the pay-for-performance program?
Well, I don't know that they always have to. In the case of the IHA program, the health plan certainly did. It would have been a lot easier for them to each manage their own program and not have to go through all the effort that it took to work with the physicians to come up with a uniform measure set. But I think there was a great advantage to that extra effort as well. They're now able to measure physician groups in their network against a 6 million member population instead of, say, a 500,000 or a million member population. And therefore, the physicians being measured have a lot more trust in the results. And I think that has benefited everyone.
So what's ahead? What are the challenges ahead for your organization here in California?
Well, I think the key challenge is making the measure set relevant. And the big concern at this point is, are we teaching to the test? That is, if the measure set's too static, then folks can fairly quickly focus their energies on a certain set of measures versus the broader range of quality care. Therefore, I think the big challenge is advancing the measurement set fairly quickly, but not so quickly that those being measured don't have sufficient time to take up and to really focus their practices. And so we're working very hard to expand the measurement set. And one of our big constraints is because we only collect data electronically, there is a limited set of well-vetted measures that allow you to collect the information electronically. So finding the right measures, implementing them, and doing it and using only electronic data is our biggest challenge.
So the fact that there's this big push for standards in health IT, that's going to help your efforts?
Absolutely.
So, Tom, overall, would you say that the attitude towards pay-for-performance, these quality improvement projects, are they increasing when you go around the country and you talk to other groups? Is there a buzz? What would you say about how doctors are approaching this in general or health plans are approaching this?
Well, I would say there's a buzz, and the reason I say that is we at IHA have had many, many inquiries and continue from around the country and organizations attempting to start projects. In fact, it inspired a national summit that we put together on pay-for-performance last February in LA. And we were really pleasantly surprised. We had folks from 35 states and 6 countries. We're going to repeat it in Los Angeles this February. And one of the words was from people that, wow, there really is a buzz here. There's an excitement about progress and really sort of a hope for improving the whole value equation in healthcare. So I think particularly now with the government weighing in, and if Medicare were to take any sort of substantial stand in this sort of arena, then I think that we will just see a huge amount of energy and focus and performance measurement.
And the physicians who are involved in this and who have been active in this, what do you hear from them? Are they happy to be measured? Are they glad to know how their patients are doing compared to other patients? What's the satisfaction? I know you can't speak for the doctors, but what do you hear from the physicians?
Well, it's variable. There's some, I think, well-founded concern that it's done right, because if not done right, then it's a negative. But it really depends on, I think, what the involvement is. I'll just give an example. I heard a talk from a physician, John Toussaint from Wisconsin, and he's the CEO of a large physician group. And he and his counterparts and hospital CEOs have been meeting monthly, representing the whole state of, the provider community in Wisconsin, and has developed performance measures, put them in place. There are no financial incentives, but they're reporting out results. And it has inspired a very healthy activity around improving practice. And just a simple example, he thought their group was the best in a certain category, found out they were only about average from the performance measure, and the specialist in this one category got in a van, drove 3 hours across the state, spent a day at the top facility, and came back and then implemented those learnings and have seen a real improvement in their performance. And, I think generally physicians want to provide the best possible medicine, but, often aren't aware that they may not be in the top tiers of performance. So I think a lot of it is just in how it's implemented, and there'll be a lot of skepticism along the way.
Anything that I haven't asked you?
Well, a couple things. One, it's not just a U.S. activity. It's international. All countries around the world are struggling with how to manage healthcare better. England, for example, has put a pay performance program in for every primary care physician in the country, using 150 measures from the RAN quality tools. In California, we do hope to expand the program beyond just the commercial HMO next to Medi-Cal, and hopefully in the not-too-distant future to Medicare Advantage. And so I think that it's certainly gone beyond the fad stage, and I think that we'll continue to see the program evolve and other programs like it. And ultimately, I think primarily pay performance will be a catalyst for more fundamental change in provider reimbursement, which we desperately need.
And what can you say about that?
Well, today, for better or worse, the payment system does not favor the best care. In fact, it favors the most care. So the most care provided, the more reimbursement. And therefore, that certainly doesn't bode well for managing healthcare costs. So once we have a much better understanding of what quality care is and how to measure it, then I think we'll be in a position to design reimbursement schemes which reward the best quality.
And finally, I understand your organization has another summit coming up. Would you want to plug that?
Sure, I'd love to plug it. We have the second National Pay Performance Summit in Los Angeles this winter, February 14 through 16. And you can learn all about it at the website, www.pfpsummit.com.
Great. Thank you so much for taking the time.
For the California Healthcare Foundation, I'm Chris Rebelow.